CNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, this is an idea from the mind of Corey yesterday. I loved it. I put a lot of thought into it, but I do admit at some point I just stopped because I think I was going to drive myself insane trying to chop this all up.
I
get it,
but I'm happy that I gave you an idea.
I loved it.
That you liked so much that you had to dive in on it.
This is cool. I really did. And I was like, oh, we can do this maybe on Wednesday. And I was like, we got to do it now. We just do. All right. So yesterday, EA Sports announced the return of their college basketball video game. Previously did football. I know people are clamoring now for baseball. And so your all-time college hoop lineup, but we put the caveat of it on there that it needs to be 1990 going forward. And one of the reasons for that is I feel like most people's lists would then be dominated with people that we didn't all necessarily see. Like, look, I've heard that Bill Walton and then Lou Alcindor were the greatest college basketball players anyone's ever seen, anyone ever could imagine.
I didn't really see Larry Bird and Magic Johnson.
Me neither. Exactly. And so we went 1990s going forward, and I put so much thought into this so people could get so mad. I have a first team, a second team, and a third team.
Well, do you mind if I steal a minute to
please
give you my lineup
please
before you get there? Does Caitlin Clark count?
Okay, so I might be a hate monger then, because I will have to admit I only put men's college basketball players in here.
I had a question.
I apologize.
Does NCAA men's basketball have NCAA women on it? I don't know the answer. I don't remember if they had the women's group. So, Kevin, we're just going to stick with the men on this one.
Hook as a monger.
Sorry, Caitlin. You're really great. You've done some amazing things. All right. I'm going to go with Anthony Davis.
Okay.
I thought Anthony Davis was spectacular.
Agreed.
But now I'm going to destroy you because next to Anthony Davis, I have Tim Duncan. At Wake Forest, I thought Tim Duncan was the best player I'd ever seen in my life.
I can see that.
I'm pairing those two up. Now, he was a center.
It's interesting. It's a four-year player with a one-year player. That's fascinating.
Pairing those guys up. Then I'm going with J.J. Redick. Now, a lot of people might not love J.J. Redick. I just thought he played with this chip on his shoulder that just stood out to me. Then I'm throwing KD in there. All right.
Oh, so you're manipulating this lineup a little bit, but
yes,
that's okay.
I'm going positionless basketball, Kevin.
All right.
KD can play. He can play 1 through 4.
Okay.
All right, as far as I'm concerned. But KD at UT,
one of the best players.
It was amazing to watch. Agreed. And then Melo. I didn't love Carmelo Anthony in the NBA.
For
but
sure.
But watching him play at Syracuse was spectacular. So that's my team. They're big. We're long.
So I like your team, and I'm glad that you presented your team like that. I went a different direction in terms of I did not have a single freshman only on the first or second team. Okay.
All right.
So I hear you on Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant. In fact, they were both on my third team. I didn't factor in freshmen just because I thought there were so many great college basketball players.
I get that. And that's good.
And I did stick with more or less position. There's a little tiny bit of position flex in there. But also, like you said, this does not factor in their NBA career whatsoever, because that is irrelevant to this. From the 214, no thought off the top of my head, TJ Ford, Iverson, Durant, Carmelo, Anthony, and Anthony Davis. From the 817, Kevin Durant, JJ Redick, Tyler Hansbrough. That is a great choice. Shane Battier and Zion Williamson. From the 214, Steph Curry, Cooper Flagg, or Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and Shaquille O'Neal. All right. So here's my first team. Point guard, Allen Iverson.
Oh, yeah.
He's amazing.
Georgetown, baby.
Shooting guard, Anthony Hardaway.
I don't know who that is.
Yes, you, Penny.
Oh, Penny Hardaway.
Maybe. Was it because he was in Blue Chips? I can't rule that out. Not the only person from the movie that's going to make an appearance.
He was a special player. He was in the movie. That was a blast. That's how a lot of people knew him.
But for sure.
He was a special player in college.
By the way, you'll definitely notice some 90s bias in my list.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I admit that. Small forward, Grant Hill. Power forward, Christian Laettner.
Somebody texted in yesterday and said, if Cooper Flagg wants to have the ball in his hand and play that kind of position, he needs to watch Grant Hill. Go back and watch how he played, because that's what you could be. And I feel like Jason Kidd has multiple times and with us said that's a vision that he has, and he thinks about Grant Hill.
So we didn't do this last week. We kind of kicked it around, the idea of if you can magically bless one baseball player with an injury-free career, who would it be? And I think that could actually be super fun for all of the sports.
For Grant Hill?
Because in basketball, I think mine might have been Grant
Nicest
Hill.
Nicest dude you'll ever see.
And I think people forget Grant Hill was incredible before he got hurt. Incredible.
I thought he was about to take over the league.
Yes.
I mean, it just seemed like every time I turned on ESPN for highlights, Grant Hill was the one.
And there's multiple people. Could be Derrick Rose. Could be Penny. Like, you could go with a lot of people there. So for this, I went with Grant Hill, small forward, Christian Laettner, a power forward. I think Christian Laettner is probably the greatest modern era college basketball player just because of everything he accomplished. And my center is Shaquille O'Neal. So my first team
is... Was he that good at LSU?
He was. He was tremendous at LSU. He left after 2 years. Because he was so good, but also the size that he had. He was freaking unstoppable.
He was already built for it.
Yes, he was built as a man in college.
I think it's interesting that you didn't go with Greg Oden in that spot there, Kevin. I feel like as a center, Greg Oden was dominant for Ohio State.
I thought about putting Greg Oden on this list. However, I conceded on the second team to a Carolina player, if that helps.
Whoa.
All right. So
that's a big step.
First team, Allen Iverson, Anthony Hardaway, Grant Hill, Christian Laettner, Shaquille O'Neal. That's my first team. Second team, Alec, I don't know if you had a list that I'm stepping all over since I have 8 million teams to throw out there. Do you have a college basketball all-time team that you would like to throw out before I just keep talking?
No, I'm intrigued listening to you because, one, you saw a different era of college basketball than I did. I'm accustomed very much to the one and done, so I kind of enjoy getting a previous experience because my list is going to be a lot more recent than some people's.
And I'm fascinated by that because now the next exercise I want to do, of course, not outside, is your all-time one and done team, because I think that would be really fascinating. And I think Corey listed probably
most of them.
Yeah, the prime candidates. All right, so my second team, and I got a name here, maybe two names that's going to shake things up. My point guard, Stephen Curry. You might have heard of him. He's done pretty well after that.
He had that run in the tournament was
awesome. Davidson. It was unbelievable.
Amazing.
Now,
you were out, and I was watching on that tiny TV up in
the newspaper. Just, I know it has nothing to do with their pro careers. But just consider the career my point guard had on the second team versus my shooting guard. Point guard, Stephen Curry. Shooting guard, Jimmer Fredette. You might be thinking, who the hell is that? Look, there was a time and a place when Jimmer Fredette was it, man.
Yes.
He was averaging 30 points a game. He was unbelievable. I know it didn't translate to NBA success, but he became like pretty unbelievable overseas playing basketball as well. So I'm going Stephen Curry, Jimmer Fredette, Glenn Robinson, the big dog.
Big baby.
That is
different
Glenn
guy.
Davis.
I'm sorry. Anytime you say Glenn.
Chris Webber and Tyler Hansbrough. So Tyler Hansbrough kind of reminds me of Tim Tebow in terms of, and I know the Broncos were like, that's fine, we'll draft him in the first round anyway. But it felt like most people watching Tim Tebow and Tyler Hansbrough were like, these guys are the most incredible college players I've ever seen. I don't really know how it's gonna translate at the next level.
Yeah.
But they're incredible. Tyler Hansbrough, one of the best college players I've ever seen. He is my second team center. And from the 469, any list actually says loss, but then he corrected it to list without Pete Maravich is crap. And again,
it's okay. It's all right.
Reestablishing the rules, 1990 going forward. But I hear you.
Which is tough on me because I did have Glenn Rice, but he was at 89.
Okay.
I loved Glenn Rice.
So one of my names on the next list, this is my third team, and then I promise I'll be done. Jason Kidd. I told you, I put too much thought into this.
I love it.
All right. So first team, Allen Iverson, Penny, Grant Hill, Laettner, Shaq. Second team, Steph Curry, Jimmer Fredette, Glenn Robinson, Chris Webber, Tyler Hansbrough. Third team, point guard, Jason Kidd. Shooting guard, Jim Jackson.
Ooh.
Remember the expectations
yes.
from him, I think coming out of Ohio State, going to the Mavericks were high. And Now, I've incorporated some of your philosophy. I wouldn't allow one and dones until the third team. So small forward, Kevin Durant. Power forward, Anthony Davis. And then for my center, right on the cusp of the 90s, Alonzo Mourning. So we go back to Georgetown again. So
Alonzo was amazing.
He was. So my third team is Kidd, Jackson, Durant, AD, and Alonzo Mourning.
Dude, I like all three lists for one. And I think those are teams that can win.
Somebody said no Jimmer Fredette. He's on my second team.
You're missing Adam Morrison. And I know this is going to be a tough dude.
Yeah.
You're missing Dougie McBuckets. And you're missing Kimball Walker. Now here,
I thought about both of those
guys. Here's what I think with Kimball Walker. Am I wrong? Was he playing with Emeka Okafor on that team? I got to go back and think about what those teams were at the time.
I don't think so. I can't remember. But I'm not positive about my UConn history as much.
But that with UConn, I always felt like they were so team-driven that there wasn't a real star, and they all kind of dug that. You know, it always felt that way. At Duke, it felt like we have one star. And then everybody else is very good, but we have one star on this team. And it always felt like with the UConn teams, you were like, man, that's a really good system they got going up there.
So I saw a couple of people ask about Derrick Rose, and I totally get that.
Yeah, tough.
I would have had to bump off Jason Kidd for that because I just didn't use the one and dones until the third team.
And we just made best friends with Jason Kidd recently.
That is true. But look, if you're going with more centric on the one and dones, that makes a whole lot of sense to me. From the 6-8-2, Shaq, KD, Michael Beasley. Ooh, that's a good one. I have to admit, I didn't really think about him, but that is a good one. JJ Redick and John Wall. Second team, Tyler Hansbrough, Ty Lawson, Carmelo Anthony, Anthony Davis, and Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield is another player that really was phenomenal in college. Now, there's a couple that you mentioned, Corey, that I really considered. Tim Duncan was on my consideration list, but I didn't want to leave out Tyler Hansbrough because I feel like people forget about him just because he didn't do much at the next level. He was awesome in college. And so to me, it came down to Lonzo Mourning versus Tim Duncan. And like, that was a really difficult choice. But for college purposes, I went with Lonzo Mourning. I believe his senior year at Georgetown or his last year at Georgetown, Lonzo Mourning blocked 5 shots a game. And I'm not saying that as an exaggeration. It was 5 blocks per game.
Do you have something against OU and that's why you didn't go with Blake Griffin and Trae Young?
Okay, well, yes, I definitely have something against Trae Young.
Trae Young at OU was special.
Okay.
He was all they had. He had to shoot all the balls.
Are you putting him ahead? Who are you putting him ahead of then? Because for Blake Griffin, I'm not bumping out Durant or Anthony Davis for him.
Okay, so you're power forward specific. But Blake Griffin was all they had.
And I'm
remember
also,
like that. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Did they lose to North Carolina?
He was really good, but then even if you go small forward or power forward, I have to bump out Durant or Anthony Davis. I'm probably not going to do that. Trae Young, I'm going to have to bump out either Jason Kidd, probably Jason Kidd. And I'm just not going to do that. I admit I have a Trae Young bias.
And I do appreciate this person, but AC Law, we'll put him on the next list, Kevin. We'll put him on for anybody that doesn't know that story. We need to tell it right now.
Okay.
Real quick. Kevin and I worked at the newspaper together, and we would frequently have stories we call evergreen. Evergreen
yes.
story means this can go anytime. It can go anytime, and we had an AC Law story that Kevin had written that we had in the newspaper. Newspaper comes to us and says, hey, sorry, guys, we've added more ads to the newspaper. You got to kill that story. Kill the story. We'll use it next week. Kept on trying to get it into the newspaper, and it just never made it. The story still is waiting for us to put it in the newspaper. So anytime you hear us say anything about AC Law, it means that we're just pushing it off to next time.
Yeah. Yeah, and
that's because you and I started, we met at the local newspaper, the Plano Star Courier, covering high school football out in the North area. Allen, I mean, we covered all over, didn't we?
Flower Mound, South Lake, everything. But it existed on the internet, but we worked in a newspaper. We hated technology at the newspaper,
it's true.
I guess.
It's true.
But yeah, so there's the list presented. By the way, plenty of people have plenty of thoughts. Thank you to everyone who acknowledges how great that Jimmer Fredette was in college. Hank Gathers came up. I think he might have been 89, 90. So I did not consider him and Bo Kimble from that Loyola Marymount team. Somebody's mad that I didn't put Duncan on the second team. Tim Duncan was phenomenal. Kenyon Martin, plenty of other people for Michael Beasley. Michael Beasley is a heck of a pick. I could see that. Wally Szczerbiak, Dwayne Wade.
Oh, Wally Szczerbiak. I forgot about him.
I considered Dwayne Wade. I did, but he didn't make the final cut.
I couldn't do it.
There's my list. I'm glad that you guys appreciated, engaged with all of it. With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus don't you dare speak down on Jake Paul. You'll find out why next on The Fan.
KNC masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Didn't get a chance to mention it earlier with all the breaking news of the day, but yesterday, the Pirates won their fourth straight game by 7 runs or more. That is the first time they've done that since August 29th, through September 1st of 1925. So it's been almost 100 years since you've seen this four-game level of dominance from the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, good for them, man. I'm proud.
You know what's good for all of us? It's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, 0 for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the Pride of Mansfield, Texas. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. Can answer the question of the day there as well as Twitch and YouTube.
I'm going to pause you really quick.
I'm scared.
No, it's news that we've known. It just hasn't been official. Well, first of all, Colin Blackwell staying in Dallas 2 years, $775,000 annual value. But the Stars have officially posted up, welcome to Dallas, Glenn Gullitson as their new head coach.
Yeah, at Salad the Stars. No, I'm just Dallas Stars. They actually did tweet out.
I was about to say, oh,
we got ball sacked on that one. No, it was. They did say welcome home. So congratulations to Glenn Gullitson. Hopefully we can revitalize that friendship, rekindle it, if you will, and get that spark going again.
Do you think he remembers Corey, Alec?
I feel like he does.
Yeah. I say it's something about his eyes one time, and he'll go, oh, yeah, I remember this guy.
Oh, yeah, you.
Yeah, just like I feel like even if you didn't have the face-to-face with Paige Beckers, if I just got her on the phone and you said, hey, remember the sweat question? She'd be like, oh, yeah, you guys, what's up?
Hey,
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, I feel like y'all have like buzzwords with certain people probably.
And in the future for Cooper Flagg, it will be remember the F-shirt question.
The F-shirt.
Real quick.
Yes.
Alec, I just wanted to remind everybody here on the station, It is Tank Top Tuesday, and I have arrived in my tank top today. Mm-hmm. And yesterday we discussed show tank tops, and Kevin, you said you thought it was a great idea.
I said for you guys, if you remember. Well, I said that I think that's a great idea for y'all.
Kevin, it's Corey's day. I had to stand in solidarity with them. So the ears are going to come off for a second. What I won't be able to hear anything. But
you have
we do have
a
tank top on under the t-shirt. So the t-shirt is coming off for the major's birthday.
Nonsense.
Yes!
This is the dumbest thing ever.
Two for Tank Top Tuesday. Look at that guy right there. Yeah. He's tattoos in his muscles.
Waited until there was a lady in there to do that, I noticed.
Yeah.
And fan cam, Twitch and YouTube. I couldn't hear anything y'all said for
that. That's probably for the best. Probably for the best. You do look good.
And it is Tank Top Tuesday. And thank you, Alec, for stepping up with me, man.
Yeah, so I couldn't let my guy down on his birthday, and this will apparently be a regular thing going forward.
But
for the
you
summer.
Had a different shirt on because you didn't want people in public to know you were wearing a tank top.
No,
right?
I just wanted to do the grand reveal for Corey's birthday. You know,
appreciate it, man.
So next week I'll just show up straight up tank top.
I like it.
Yeah.
Huh.
And it's great because now I can just go straight to the gym. I don't even have to stop by the house anymore.
What if there's tank bottoms?
What would that look like,
Kevin? Your thoughts?
Yeah.
All right, Alec.
Isn't that like a Speedo? I don't know.
We consumed his whole segment, so we're going to give him some.
Back to you, Alec.
Hey.
We're having fun.
Chaos. That's what the C in my initial stands for. It's chaos.
Like it.
Yeah. So the question of the day in honor of the major's birthday, what's the last thing that made you feel old? 877-881-1053. And I'll bat lead off here. because I told you guys this story, I want to say 2 months ago now, and I finally did something about it, where I absolutely obliterated my lower back in the gym doing back squats. And I finally, during my week off, it wasn't even really a fun vacation week. It was a, hey, let's get stuff done week to get done that I've been putting off because I've been focused on other things. So I finally went to an orthopedic specialist and got my back looked at and found out there's some things that aren't looking too good in there. And we're trying to avoid surgery. So I'm medicated and everything, and we're hoping to avoid.
You're medicated right now?
No.
Oh.
No, it's just like an as-needed thing, but there's some narrowing of some stuff there in the lumbar that shouldn't be happening at this age.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's been the root cause of my pain, but it made me feel old, one, because sitting in the waiting room, there was nobody within 30 years of my age. Mm. And then two, when I got to the x-ray room, the radiologist in there, she was like, you're supposed to be getting this looked at when you're 54, not 24.
That sounds like that lady's terrible at their job.
and I was like, I know, okay? I get it. I was doing too much. Accidents happen. And even the actual doctor, he was like, dude. He politely told me it's time to hang him up and be a family man when it comes to like the heavy back-assisted lifts. Mm. He was like, do you play pro football? And I'm like, look at me. No. And he was like, do you play pro basketball? I'm like, look at me. No. He was like, are you a pro athlete of any kind? I'm like, no. He was like, do you have any brand deals where you're a gym influencer? I'm like, I want to be. He's like, well, you're not. So you should probably stop doing that stuff.
Wow.
Because you don't need to. He was like, you just flat out don't need to. You're going to ruin your quality of life down the line. So I'm like, you know what? You got a good point. So now I've got a list of like alternate movements and stuff that are not crucial to your lower back.
Yes.
So we're taking care of that. We're avoiding surgery, which is the good thing. So that made me feel old when the radiologist was like, you're supposed to get this checked in 30 years, not right now.
So a couple of years ago, though I am significantly older than you, a couple of years ago, I pulled a muscle in my leg putting my pajama pants on for bed, and I felt really sad about it. I was like, I think I did it too violently or maybe too high, or I don't know, or maybe I'm just old. And yeah, so I pulled a leg muscle putting on my pajama pants, and I mean, I went to bed really sad. I was like, my goodness, what has happened to you?
I want to say it's when I watched my middle son jump out of the bed of a truck and I realized I can no longer jump out of the bed of a truck without my knees hurting terribly. Mm. That was the moment there. But it is at the end of this school year, my son went from being a junior in high school to a senior in high school. And that was the moment that like really hit me. He is in his final year of high school, and I'm going to send him off to college, and I'm sure everything's going to be fine after that. And he'll never need me once he goes off to college.
He'll need you for money.
Yeah, but like that moment right there, and I know you've experienced that, but that was the most recent one where I just went, holy crap, like I've been around for a while. I was talking with Carter this morning, and I was like, man, 44 years of experience. You think you'd listen to me?
Look, It is a cycle that we all understand because we all felt the same way at that age. You're an old man. You don't understand. And then you get to be that old person and you're like, I get it. I thought exactly the same way you did. I wish I had listened.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't impart that to them because you remember your parents telling you the exact same thing and you being like, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't even know what TikTok is. Like, I'm not listening to you.
See, it's trickled into my just like everyday thinking and how I plan stuff too. I feel so old in how I will avoid or just deny plans because of like the day and time.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's too late. No, I'm not going. You know, like I got invited to a birthday party on a Sunday, like out on the lake on a boat. And I'm like, do I want to be on a boat all day on a Sunday, get home late and then come to work the next day? Probably not. So I think I'll just send you a gift card and call it a day, you know, because no, I'm trying to show up in one piece at work and give the best I can every day and actually do my job well. So I tell people that I'm like, no, I'm not going out on a Thursday night if I don't have the next day off. You know, like I just don't want to do, even at 24, I'm like, I feel ashamed when I wake up and I'm like, I'm halfway here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm already past that. I'm done. Thanks to Bobby Belt especially. But Yeah, I've already altered how I plan my life and my events because I'm like, no, I want to sleep. I need my 8 hours, man, or I can't function.
I need to have 2 days off to go out on a weeknight. That's where I am. I need to have 2 days. Because the next day is done. All right? Like, it's a waste of time. Remember the day after the media party in Vegas?
Yeah.
Remember how I looked that day,
yes,
Kevin?
Yes, I do.
And I don't know how it worked that day. All right? I've forced my way through it, and I was there because you said I had to be, and you kept telling me if you're not here, I'm not showing up tomorrow. And I was like, crap. And so that was
then
the thing.
You're like, I'm here. Yeah. Get used to it.
So to enjoy a day off, I would need 2 days off if I'm going to go out on a weeknight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, from the 817, Jaws turning 50 years old made them feel old.
Okay. So here's something that might help you.
What did his cake look like?
This is something that I did for the longest time, is find a celebrity or somebody that you like really admire that is older than you, and just remember that person will always be older than you. like you know, maybe that person is like Tom Cruise. They love Tom Cruise, and like, hey, Tom Cruise will always be older than you. And like, just have that one person that you're like, hey, I feel old. This person is older.
Did Jaws's little birthday cake have Alex Kittner on top of it? Just the little kid that he got.
Oh, did you know originally when John Williams submitted that soundtrack that Steven Spielberg thought he was doing a bit? He was like, this is... Yeah, he was like, this is your music? And then they ran the temp track with the movie. And he's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, man. It is amazing how well he knows what music goes where it should
be.
It's
unbelievable.
That's amazing that... Imagine, like, you put your best work forward to somebody and they're like, this is going to make a bunch of money. And they're like, you're kidding, right? And you're like, no.
How like, satisfying is that screening then when he's like, okay, I get it. And now, like, obviously, that's one of the more iconic American movie soundtracks of all time.
Just trust the people who know what they're doing, okay? For sure. And I don't trust Jake Paul when he says this. I would be intrigued to see how this goes. You might have seen that, I think it was in the past couple of days, he was on Piers Morgan, and he walked off in the middle of an interview because he got mad. Because he questioned his like actual rapport as a real boxer.
Yeah.
You know, that you haven't fought anybody kind of thing. So he got mad and walked off. Now, Paul and his legal team are saying that if anybody makes public comments that his fights are rigged, they will seek legal action against you.
Okay. Well, I got a workaround for that. I don't think your fights are rigged whatsoever. I just don't think you're fighting good people. And if you want to save me with that, Julio Cesar Chavez was former a champion. Awesome. How long ago was that? He fought Canelo. Right on. That was 8 years ago. And guess what? Then he took a 2-year break. What's happened in those 6 years in between? He's 4-4, including fights against Anderson Silva and Uriah Hall, who are former UFC fighters, not actual boxers. So get the hell out of here with this. He just beat a former world champion. All right.
There are guys that did pad their record
for
against
sure.
Tin cans.
For sure.
And then eventually got to a point where they fought somebody that was a real contender.
And he could. He could get to that point. Like, I'm not going to dispute that.
I don't think he will.
And that's the thing. But, like, realistically, he's fought, what, 2 actual factual boxers, maybe 3, and he's 2-1 against them, and none of them were anywhere near relevancy as a fighter. So, like, when the idea is he's about to fight for the world title, you can pump the brakes on that for sure.
I just like getting Kevin worked up unreasonably about combat sports. So there you go.
For the record, didn't say his fights were fixed.
Yep.
I just said the wins weren't
impressive.
You're
a smart man.
With a KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Does Corey's favorite team look invincible on defense? Next on The Fan. Who is the best hero from an action movie?
I'm sorry. Hold on. What?
Now, I wanted to make the clarification on this because I didn't want to say action hero because then I think people debate like, you know, Bruce Willis versus Sly versus Schwarzenegger. No, that's not what we're doing. We're talking about the character in a movie or specific sets of movies, like right. John McClane versus the dude from Taken. Like, that's what we're talking about, all right? That'll be coming up as part of the Expressway, and we might just have bonus people to participate in this. In the meantime,
bonus people.
That's right. It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
And we start.
Dip and rivet.
With this. Alec, do you think Corey and I are pretty close?
I hope so. Y'all seem like it.
Well, I'm going to tell a story that's going to call all of that into question.
Oh.
David Bakhtiari was at Jordan Love's wedding, and it's a good bit. He posted a picture, or actually, I think it was a video, and he said, "Love is love. Congratulations to the Loves. Just happy at least one of my quarterbacks invited me to their wedding."
Dang. Jeez.
So Aaron Rodgers' wife, well, when he got married, apparently, he didn't get invited to his wedding. So now's an important thing to point out. I did not get invited to Corey's wedding.
One.
Second, I invited him to our wedding.
What?
Did he sit in the ceremony? No. He did not. What the hell, Corey?
Two things. All right. Number one, I'm going to start with his wedding. All right. Because it was beautiful. And I'm very proud of him and his wife. And I teared up a little bit.
Oh.
I showed up on time-ish. All right.
Ish. No.
Ish.
What does that mean?
He means he was a few minutes late. What do you know about me? It's going to start on time.
I was walking around trying to find the door. And then when I found it, I saw Jess. She said hi. She walked in and I was like, I'll slip in right behind her. And they shut the doors and locked them. And I had to stand out there. And I still, to this day, think I should have just started pounding on the door saying, "Kevin, I love you. Don't marry her."
Couple things. You should have done that. I would have loved it.
I regret it so badly.
Secondly, they don't really want anybody to upstage the bride, right?
Not at all.
Hey, who the hell is that other guy?
Yeah, what's he doing sliding here at the last second? So that's the one. The two, I'd known Kevin for 2 weeks, all right? I'd started at the newspaper, and I'd known him for... I didn't even work in the sports section. I was covering the city beat at the time.
Oh, really? And how did you start working in the sports section?
I went to whoever the editor was and asked him if I could do volleyball or something, and then he pawned it off to you.
No!
No, he did. I remember I started covering sports, and he just goes, "Hey, just tell him where to go."
What do you mean the real editor? So he should have known, Alec. Should he not have known?
2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. Alec, let me ask you something. I mean, clearly it didn't work out. But have you ever dated somebody 2 weeks in and you thought it was really special?
Yeah.
All right. So clearly you were wrong about that. But in this case.
I told Adrian I loved her for 2 weeks, I believe. No, I'm just joking.
So I'm just saying, maybe he should have known.
It is wild.
In all seriousness, though, I thought that was a pretty hilarious line to just drop out there.
Oh yeah, no, I seriously think too in the story of the KNC masterpiece, whoever's writing that book one day, they're gonna have that's one of the epic stories. It'll just be chapter on weddings, Kevin's love for weekend or weekday weddings, and then how Corey has screwed up all the weddings.
This is from DJ's wife. DJ and I were on time. You love to hear it. From the 321, "Kevin, if I have a weekday wedding, can you come just to object to the ceremony? I guarantee you, if you ask me to come to your wedding and object, I will do it in spectacular fashion."
I hope so.
Everyone will remember your wedding forever. You think about how many weddings you go to. They all kind of blend together. Now, did ours stand out? Sure, maybe because we did our own vows, which people usually hate, but it seemed like people liked ours okay. But if you will remember the wedding you go to, Alec, where somebody's like, "Don't do it, Jim. I've loved you for years. Stop running away from yourself." Okay? Like, that's a wedding you're going to remember. Even if Jim doesn't go with me.
Who is Jim?
I don't know. Some guy.
Slim Jim.
Jim Chair. The creator of chairs.
You feel good about that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go to Tyrone Tracy. He is shooting for 1,500 rushing yards this season. And he said, ultimately, his goal is to dominate. And I have to admit, we spent so much time talking about like what a train wreck the offense was for the New York Giants that this dude fifth-round pick. He had over 1,000 yards from scrimmage, 6 touchdowns. And for a fifth-round pick, he had a hell of a rookie season. And I think you can argue just for a rookie, he had a heck of a season right there.
Yeah, he was one of those that you're happy by the end of it that you're like, whoa, wow, that was pretty nice. And now yes. He wants to dominate. That's terrifying.
Yes, absolutely. And look, we'll see how that works. And he said his goal is to get 1,500 yards rushing. Not from scrimmage,
like
but that. Rushing.
I like not over 1,000.
Yeah.
Not 1,000. Yeah. 1,500. That's a good number. I think that's a strong number.
Absolutely. That is very, very bold. All right, let's go from that to Brian Branch. And this is what you want to say. But he said that the Lions feel invincible on defense. And it's fascinating because you think how well they did in the regular season, considering they just had a shocking number of injuries. And now with whether it's Hutchinson, McNeil, Anzalone, they've got a lot of players coming back
yes.
that had been hurt. Or I guess I should say they had a lot of players last year who were hurt and missed time, and they feel like they will have those spots appropriately filled this year. And one of the things that Branch said is we went through the ups and downs. We fought together. And once you have a group that's bought in and gone through the trials and tribulations, we feel invincible.
I appreciate what they did last year, making it as far as they did with random names that they had to pick up as they were going along. However, you feel invincible now in the offseason.
Sure.
When you get into the regular season and you start playing these games, what happens if you go through this or a couple guys go out early?
Yeah.
Morale just turns.
I get you.
And you kind of watch San Francisco this year. They were like, man, we've been playing so physical for so long. Can we do that anymore?
Yeah.
And so that you start to doubt yourself a little bit. Hopefully they have a clean season for the Lions. Hopefully that's they have a clean season defensively and we can see how good that team actually can be.
You know, we talked earlier today about Darren Waller coming out of retirement and going to the Dolphins. Well, the day before, the Dolphins made the trade, Jalen Ramsey, Jonnu Smith, going to the Steelers and bringing back Minkah Fitzpatrick. And then there's Raheem Mostert, who said, hot take. Well, he tweeted it out. Be a Pro Bowler on the Dolphins, get treated like S. Happy for my guys, though. Go ball out.
Miami, I think, has some culture problems.
Fair.
Despite saying that they needed to work on their culture.
And that's partially, at least not, if not a lot, on McDaniel.
And I don't know if McDaniel is the one or who is, hey, go ball out and you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
That's what these guys think.
Sure.
If I go play great, my team, you're trying to build this culture, and then your GM's like, we're not keeping that guy. You just ran him into the ground. He gets hurt. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with that part of it. It stinks, but it's business.
Now, I wanted to throw this out there. We were talking about some of the wagers that you can make, specifically on Dallas Cowboys, and I wanted to throw this one out as well. Dak Prescott right now is the favorite to win Comeback Player of the Year at plus 300.
He was really hurt last year.
Yes, he was. And so this is not just a case of you were terrible, because remember, that used to be how they awarded Comeback Player of the Year, kind of. And then they tried to, kind of restrict those rules just a little bit more. What do you think about the concept of Dak Prescott being the favorite for Comeback Play of the Year? Put aside the fact that, like, obviously that's going to need to be the case if the Cowboys are going to be good this year.
If they stand any chance, he has to play well.
Agreed.
I don't think, though, that he has to play, like, overly exceptional.
Sure, Comeback Player of the Year doesn't have to mean top 5 MVP.
If he plays well, that means your offensive line is doing its job.
Yeah.
That means your run game is being productive, because now Dak has the ability to find these really talented receivers without having to waste his legs. So play well means just good enough for the team to be successful.
And we told you we'd update you on the NFL Top 100. Next two players on there, Aaron Jones at 98, and Drake London makes his first appearance in the Top 100 at number 97. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, just past the midpoint of the season, who is the most disappointing Texas Rangers player, and what what to be done about Josh Jung. Next on The Fan.